trust you don't mind, I'll start off like this, and then we'll see where we go from there. But it feels more like a chat word than a sermon word. I'm more of a chatting mood than I am a preaching mood. So good to be home. I wanted to, a couple of things. One, thank Linda Talier for taking care of Henry, and Livia, by the way, also, and for the whole time that I was gone, and for all of you who provided food and brought meals. It was such a blessing, and we still got stuff left over in the refrigerator. Some of it I'm not supposed to eat, and I've enjoyed all of it. And I felt like I needed to reward myself after being gone. But thank you so much. That means the world to me and my family, that and to Livia, that she's got that, and she's easy to not to be concerned about meals and stuff like that. So thank you again so much. I had a word I want to share. I think I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to sort of just talk a little bit about the trip. But in the meantime, I don't want that to frighten you. Oh my gosh, what'd you come here for? Hopefully you've already know why you came. You've encountered the Lord, and you will in Eucharist. But I'm going to talk about my trip in a way that I believe that some of the things I'm going to share with you will be very applicable to your own life and your own walk with the Lord. I got to write a few devotionals the first week that I was gone. And the one about rest I was going to do today, but I want to do next week. And I really sensed while I was up here worshiping, I thank Luke for tolerating me up there. I did this one drum, Luke, and like you've been telling me. But it was good for me to do that. I needed to have that outlet. But I really sense the Lord just said to do this and to share some things with you and be transparent with you, because all of us are in this world. You're going to have tribulation, right? And so tribulation takes on different form. And yet He's called us to walk as overcomers in the midst of all that. To describe this trip, it was a different trip than I've done in a long, long time. There were 16 flights in 15 days. And many of those are flights in the little small African airports that, sketchy would be the best word to describe some of the things you go through. People want money, officials want money, they ask you for things you don't have, they know you don't have. They tell you there are things that you're required of, that you know you're not required of, but they're not letting you through, and it was crazy. But that's a lot of flying, and sometimes it was different. And usually, years ago, when I was over the International Development Agency, I would do more trips where I would go over there and pray for people, for sure, but also did a lot of Episcopal things, would meet with bishops and do official stuff and that kind of thing. And did that often. One time I went 5 times in 14 months to Africa. For those of you who've been around long enough, remember those days. But mostly in the last few years, when I go make trips, it's just to go do ministry. We just go and teach some or preach some and then just pray for the sick and just see what God's going to do, which is my favorite thing to do. But this trip, I was with Archbishop Bates, our patriarch, and he had a lot of Episcopal things to do. And so I was grateful to be able to be there and be a part of some things that happened and help some at that level, at whatever level I contributed some. And so there wasn't the opportunities to do the kind of ministry that we normally do. Tuck Bowen, Father Tuck, was with me the whole trip, faithful Tuck. And they all fell in love with him because he can fix everything and knows how to do anything. And They went on this little tour. They wanted to know if I wanted to go on a little boat ride on Lake Victoria to go see a fishing village. And having been to Africa a lot of times, I went, no, and appreciated the offer. And so I didn't go, and Bishop Bates didn't go, but they did. And it's like a metal, like aluminum boat, about 16-foot boat out in Lake Victoria to see the hippopotamus and see this fishing village. And the motor broke down, the guide, and of course Tuck had a tool with him, those of you know Tuck, and he fixed the boat, so he was known as MacGyver from that point forward the rest of the trip. And then Dan and Deborah Witt were with us for a couple of days. And we spent some time in the Kibera slum, which is the second largest slum in the world. There are over 1 million people in Nairobi that live there. But it was just a different kind of trip. I was in meetings a lot and did those kind of things, was part, you know, spoke into or participated, helped when I could in administrative stuff, resetting some things, doing some kind of things, really important stuff. Bishop Bates was there to see a lot of micro businesses that some of the bishops have started to help them be more self-sustaining. And that was a lot of fun to see some of the progress that they made. And if you got any of the pictures on Facebook, you got to see some of that. But there were a few opportunities to minister a little bit, so I'll tell you some of those stories. But let me just tell you like a storyline for me. And I know that sometimes Christians, and I understand what they're saying. I get it about not speaking negative things, releasing negative stuff. And yet, when people came to Jesus for healing, I never saw Jesus rebuke them for admitting they needed to be healed. He never said, well, don't confess something negative. So, but I understand the idea that if you just have a woe is me attitude, it does create an atmosphere. But those of you who know or don't know, I've had this physical thing going on for the last almost 4 months now with my stomach. And I've prayed and sought healing and have had some good days, not so good days. But I thought for sure I'd be good by the time I went to Africa. But when we got up to the point of going to Africa, it wasn't good. And the Lord arranged circumstances as such to where I couldn't back out of the trip. If I could have backed out of the trip, I would have probably backed out of the trip. Because how many times have you had somebody say or said something like, it's just no fun being sick away from home? Well, let me just tell you, you ain't never been away from home like being somewhere out in the bush in Africa away from home, sick. And the idea of being sick away from home, that far away from home, because I've been to Africa many, many times in the last 20 years. And one of the things they don't want to do is land in a hospital in Africa, where we were at, and because the chances of survival, that's not real good sometimes. But I had prayed early in the process, because I bought the ticket, Karen bought the ticket I could afford to get, but I prayed that I'd get upgraded. And I actually did get upgraded, and somebody did that for me. Not somebody here, but some of you helped on the trip, but somebody else did. And that was, I couldn't get that money back. And so I knew I was going to Africa because I wasn't going to let them lose the money they spent on upgrading me to be more comfortable on the flight. So it's kind of God's way of cornering me. Here's the thing I love about the Lord. God says the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely His, whose heart is perfect towards Him, King James, that He might show Himself strong in their behalf. It doesn't say He's looking for someone whose doctrine is perfect towards Him or whose walk is perfect towards Him, but whose heart is completely His. The Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet we know how David failed. And yet he's the most famous Jew in all of Israel's history. Abraham, the father, just blew it bad. And so in telling you that I would have gotten out of the trip, that's not something, if I do rewind, now that I've lived through the trip, I would have had a different attitude. But I can tell you this, is that you don't have to get it perfect, because He does. He just wants your heart to be His. And sometimes I get a little bit concerned that in Christianity, especially among us charismatics, we think we have to get the sayings and the formulas down perfect. But that's a form of legalism. You can't manipulate God by getting it perfect. He knows we're but dust. Now, do I want us to walk in perfect faith? Yes. But God's faithful. Even when we believe not, it says in Timothy, He abides faithful. So in my trip in Africa, was the beginning of the trip. I remember talking to Livia on the telephone one night because I was able to call by Skype, so we talked every day. And I said, Livia, I must have lost my mind to come on this trip. I said, I'm so sick. And the schedule, again, 16 flights in 15 days. Bishop Bates didn't even know that was the schedule. We actually canceled two flights because we were supposed to have been 18. We were in one country for 22 days. Almost spent that time in customs trying to get in and get out because of some of the silliness that went on. But here's what happened to me on this trip that became so much even more real than, you know, you say, well, how can it be more real to you, Bishop, because it's all you ever talk about. It just became more real to me than ever before, being away from home and sick. And it'd be a little bit of an odd trip for me because it's not the things I would normally do or the things I would spend that kind of money to do. But I was grateful to be there, glad to be there, grateful that I was invited to be there. It was important that I was there. God knows exactly what it was all about. But what became so real to me is that my location had not changed one bit. And my situation had not changed one bit. My condition had not changed one bit. And I was home because I was in Christ. That no matter where I was, and that no matter how I felt, no matter what was going on around me, no matter how unfamiliar the stuff was around me, there was a truth, and I was in the person of Christ. And He was there. And that my life, my days, my resources, my sufficiency, my capacity to handle the grace to do what was in front of me was not changed one bit because I was in Christ. And that even though it may feel safer here, because if something bad happened, you can get, quote, to a place familiar, I was no safer here than I was there. And that in believing that God heals and believing for God's healing, I wasn't healed yet. And I was reminded of something that's a biblical principle. It's so true. Is that if you suffer something that God's not yet relieved you of, it means you have something to offer God back in praise and thanksgiving. That costs you something. And so what became the core, I'll tell you all the other peripheral things, but on a personal level, the core of my trip was abiding in Christ. Remembering that that was the greatest reality. That, and you'll hear me talk about this a little bit next week, and I'll talk about resting in Him. But if Christ is complete, and He is, then of course I'm complete in Him. And that in Christ, in the person of Christ, is just an atmosphere of overwhelming grace. Because Jesus just lived in the zone called grace. And because I was in Him, I was in a zone called grace. And whether I was stuck in customs, I was in Christ. And grace was prevailing. Like one place we went through, Mwanza, Tanzania. And all the 20 years I've been going to Africa, they've never asked me for my immunization card. Ever. But I had it. I think I got 1 year left and I got to get more shots. And Father Tuck had his because we did them over the years. And twice they asked for our immunizations card. One was in Tanzania. And we were both able to show our cards, but other ones on the trip, including the patriarch, they weren't going to let in. We went through and then discovered they were stuck. But what was so real to me was that it was almost, it's like this whole scene, we're in Christ. And so you can either get upset and flipped out and get ugly and impatient, which is not the fruit of the Spirit. Or remember, again, that I'm in this bubble called grace. There's all the graces that Christ lives in and walks in are mine. And the whole, I'm in Christ, you're part of His leadership. He's being led by Him. This is the verse I was going to share this morning. And that is for this little chat. And that's 2 Corinthians 2. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ. If you're in Christ, He's always leading. And it's always triumphant. Now, we either deal with that or we don't. Respond to that reality or we don't. But thanks be to God. Remember again, the context there was that Paul had been brought, he came to Troas, this great evangelist. And he says there was a door open for him in the Lord to share the gospel. A door open for him in the Lord to share the gospel. And then the next verse says, but his spirit troubled him, not finding Titus there. Because he was hoping to hear from Titus at the letter that Titus had brought to the Corinthians to challenge them to repent. He was hoping to hear that Titus was going to meet him and say, it's happened. Because they were his spiritual children. And because Titus wasn't there, his spirit was troubled and he wanted to try to meet Titus halfway somewhere. But the Lord had opened the door for the gospel. But he didn't walk through that door. Now later he got to go back to Troas for a week. God did that. But his spirit, those are contradictory terms. The Lord opened the door for the gospel, but his spirit, not his flesh, was troubled, and he left. And Paul was able to say, but even when it seems to be contradictions, I'm in Africa. I thought you were going to heal me before we got here. I'm in Africa and I'm supposed to be doing all these things. I don't feel good. And some days I felt really, really bad. And some days I didn't feel so bad. Lord, why? I mean, you can get into that, right? Why? Or I'm in Christ. So thanks be to God that you're leading me and it is triumphant. Amen? Amen. See, I don't know what your Africa is right now. I don't know what you're going through. From reports, a lot of you are going through a lot of different things. But I can tell you what's most important about you, what's the truest thing about you, the one thing that doesn't vary, there's no shadow of turning, and that is you are in Christ. Amen. And that you can trust His leadership, and that in Christ, He's all sufficient for whatever it looks like, whatever shape it takes. And I just can't tell you how much. And I don't get homesick when I go to Africa, really, because I've been there so many times. And I love Africa. But the temptation to be homesick because I felt so bad was so strong. But it was being, remembering in Christ kept me from being homesick. Because that's my home. That's my great reality. That's the great truth. Holy Spirit, apply this to each person here and their circumstances and situations. And so it took me a few days to stand in that place. You know, stand. And there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles 20 that when they're going out to face the three opposing armies, it's overwhelming. The Lord said, you don't need to fight this battle, for the battle's not yours, it's mine. Don't be afraid or be dismayed. That's a very capsuling scripture because I believe that most of the time, those are the two issues that we deal with. We either get afraid or we just get dismayed, disheartened, discouraged. It's because the battle's not yours, it's mine. He said, here's the thing. He said, you just station yourself and you stand and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. But he wasn't saying to him, don't do anything, because the very next thing he says, now you go out and face them. So he said, but on the inside, station yourself and stand, believing that the battle is not yours, but mine. And in that disposition, stand there, and they finally broke out in praise about that, and then go face it. And so after just standing in that place for a few days of just kind of confused as to why in the world did you send me here? And I feel so horrible because I felt so unuseful. I wasn't walking around telling people I felt bad. but as I stood, there was this breakthrough and so I began to be able to get more sensitive, to pay attention. So here's a couple of cool stories for you. When we were in Mwanza, A week ago today, they're 8 hours ahead of us, so they've already done their Sunday service. The church there is a pretty big church, CC Church, the cathedral, and there's probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 people inside, maybe 200 people on the outside, looking at the windows, sitting on their boulders. And because the patriarch was there. And so it was their Sunday worship service. And there was about 30 different choirs, it seemed like, that sang and do what they do. It's a 4.5 hour service. And at some point during the service, Bishop Sakella came over. I was sitting behind the altar in our chairs next to Bishop Bates. And he said, "Are you going to do ministry right after Eucharist, or you want to do ministry at the end of the service?" And I don't think they were planning on doing ministry because our time was like, and so Bishop Bates just looked at me and he said, "You want to do ministry when? You want to do ministry?" And I said, "Well, let's do it right after Eucharist." So he told Bishop Sakella, "Okay, we'll form teams and we'll do that stuff." There was only 8 of us. And so after a few minutes, I said to Bishop Bates, I said, "Look, if we try to form teams, we had not even planned it. There was nowhere to stand. So we'll be here till midnight. And let's just try to do some group things. Jesus is big. He can do whatever he's going to do." And so he said, "Yeah." And so what I did, we just got up and gave some words of knowledge. Some of the people on the teams got up and gave some stuff. But this is what the Lord spoke really clearly to me. He said, "Well, just ask anybody who's hurting or uncomfortable anywhere in their body to stand up and I'll pray for you." Well, a bunch of people did. And so we prayed. And I always tell them, like I do when I go to Brazil, "Don't tell me that you're healed if you're not, because we'll pray again. We'll see." I said, don't say you're healed to make me happy. So be honest with me. But there were a bunch of people who got healed. Because we always ask them, just raise your hands, do this, and so a bunch of them. But the way it started, this is what happens sometimes. It happened in Brazil. We're going to see this happen here more and more in America. But when it started, the Lord said to this, when I got up to minister, I was a little bit wavering. Because I didn't think we were going to get to minister. Because most of the places we really didn't, unless I just peeled off and prayed for one person. And so normally when I get words of knowledge like that for a big group, I'm writing some stuff down. There was none of that. And so I'm like going, "Okay, Lord, you're on here." And so the Lord said, "Well, I want you to do this." He said, so I called this out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, "So there's somebody here, a woman, whose your first name starts with an M, and you can't lift your left shoulder higher than this." So God wants to heal you, and the Lord wants to do that, so we'll have some faith here. This is before we did everything else. Two ladies stood up, whose name started with M, who couldn't lift their shoulder, and God healed them both. And they're like waving their arms. And so people got stoked because that happened. And I was able to tell a few stories. But here was a cool thing. At the end, we got through all that. And I'm like going, "Okay, Lord, you know, I haven't totally embarrassed you or the kingdom or blown any kind of testimony about charismatic reality." And the Lord said, "Now, I want you this. If there's anybody blind or deaf here, pray for me." I thought, but you know, I was at a place then. I'm like going, "That is cool." And so I asked for anybody blind or deaf, and the blind thing got kind of confusing. But finally this lady stood up, and she was probably in her early 70s, and somebody got her to stand up. I guess they tapped her and got her. And so I brought her out to the center aisle, and Charles Bishop Sakel was with me as my interpreter. So I just was asking, she's deaf in both ears. The story is later, Charles said that she'd been deaf, he felt like she thought most of her life. So I just prayed for her, real simple prayer, you know, "Lord Jesus, I just, you know, the whole thing, command these ears to be open, healing and restored, all the nerves and small fibrous tissue to be totally healed on." And I got through and I went like that, and she went, and I said, "Can you hear?" And she said, "I can hear out of both of my ears." So that was a cool story. But it was all about being in Christ. Because you see, what I had to remember when I got put in that situation to pray, I remember, "Lord, I'm in Christ. I'm in you, and so this is your thing. You're the healer. This is the grace too. This is your circumstance, your situation. And so he healed this woman. So I've thought about that a lot this week. A lot of important things happen on this trip. The micro businesses and stuff are really significant for long-term sustainability. But here's a lady in her 70s who hasn't heard in a long time, who this week is hearing. She's in church today, and she's hearing. Of course, Bishop Sakel was so pumped and excited. Had a little lady. They have a rice project. There was, and a lot of African people have stomach issues. So, but the Lord spoke really clearly. They were working this rice processing thing. This old lady who, the Lord said, stomach issue. And I said, Lord, there's a bunch of people here with stomach issues. And he said, just don't argue with me. So we just walked out of the building, walked over there to her, and I said, you have a stomach issue. She said, yes, and through the interpreter. And she said, also my knee. And so I prayed for her, and I prayed for her stomach. I said, your stomach hurting now, always hurts. So I prayed for her, and her stomach was well. And I said, how's your knee? And she said, my leg still hurts. And I said, it's not your knee? She said, no, it's my leg. Isn't that funny? So I said, well, let's pray again for your leg. So we prayed for her leg, and she was healed. And so there were several, and some bishops got healed of some stuff. And so just to scratch any charismatic itch, God did some cool stuff that way. But the story for me was, and I don't know how to tell this story and be sensitive. The problem with stomach issues in Africa is lots, but bathroom thing is not normal. And if they do have a bathroom, a lot of times there's just a hole in the ground. There's no place to... You know what I'm saying? There's no differentiation between number one and number two. You just... there. And how do I say this? I've transcended the squatting age. There's no grace for that. That's one thing. And years ago, I remember being in Morobo, Uganda, in Sudan, and they had a latrine like that, and I was much bigger. Younger, but much bigger. And I decided I wasn't going to eat anything because I was going to go 3 days, don't go to the bathroom. Well, of course, that didn't work. And they had a rope tied to the inside of the door so that you could hold on to the rope as you lowered yourself far enough. But those people weigh 14 pounds. And I remember sitting there thinking, if I let go of this rope, they're just going to have to burn me. Because you could never clean. I could never be clean. So my trip home was 30-something hours. And I just said, Lord, I'm just in Christ and the grace of God. I don't want to have to be scrambling and just exhausted, y'all. I didn't have to go to the bathroom one time in 36 hours. And I wasn't trying to not go to the bathroom. I'm in Christ. Now, if I had it, the grace of God would have been sufficient. But as we got one block from my house, the bell rung. No, you may not think that's a miracle. But it made me want to fall down or sit down and worship anyway. So let me just say to all my brothers and sisters, thank you for your prayers. God's grace is also emitted, released. We carry the grace of God, but it's released and emitted. That transcends our faith because of the faith of others. So thank you. Your prayers and my weak faith released grace in me to walk through this trip. And I'm so grateful that I went. But having said that to you, if I had had my original ticket, knowing how I was going to feel, I wouldn't have gone. God cornered me, and He proved Himself faithful. And the great reality was I was in Christ. And I just say that to you, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, you're in Christ. That's the most important thing you need to remember. And whatever you're going through, until that goes away, whether it's a circumstance or a healing, you have something to offer Him. So, like Paul, but thanks be to God. May thanks be on your lips. The fruit of lips, praise, which is the fruit of lips that give thanks to Him. Just offer to Him. And what I did with that, I offered my stuff to Him, praising Him for what I was going through, and I was in Christ. And I said, Lord, I'll offer to You my stomach issues in a sacrifice of praise, asking that You'd make the enemy pay. And that You would pour out grace and healing on the people I minister to for stomach issues. And I saw people get healed of stomach issues. So help, not just tell my story, but help you with your story some. And I think I'm sitting, not because I'm really tired, actually, other than the stomach issue, I feel better than I felt since I was in my 20s. Had more energy, get around, I've recovered from the jet lag thing better. I'm just so grateful to be able to sit down. In light of the story I told you. It makes me want to be a worshipful person. Well, let's stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.